Welcome to the Life Church STL podcast. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope this message encourages and inspires you. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
We've been, of course, in this series, Heart and Hands, with talking about Nehemiah and the book of Nehemiah and the great work that God was doing in his life. And so we're going to continue on in that today. And he continues on. We're getting to the point where he's building the walls of Jerusalem, and things are coming to completion, and there's still plots and schemes against him. There's still accusations coming at him and trying to knock him out of place or off of what God has called him to do. And we're just going to see a little more of how God strengthens him and who he is and how that could encourage us about what God has called us to do and strengthen us to stay the course and to fight. Amen? I mean, some of us really, well, all of us, I may be able to relate to this. You know, you say, I'm a Christian, I love God, and I'm trying to follow his will for my life and what he wants me to do, but there's just all these things that keep happening, you know, like somehow we think that God's going to, you know, call us to something great, and there's not going to be anything that we have to walk through in our life or any opposition. But if you're doing something great, you know, if you're doing something that's going to strengthen you or that's going to make a difference, there's always going to be an opposition or a pressure that happens to try to defer that. But if we see that as not a pressure to or something that's going to knock us off course, but from what God wants to use it as is something to actually strengthen us and to help us grow, to strengthen our resolve. And, you know, I haven't talked about working out in a while, so, you know, Pastor Mikey did, buff guy over here. This morning, but it's like, you know, lifting weights. The muscles, the strength doesn't come unless there's pressure against the muscle you're trying to work. It's the same thing, you know. We can't just sit here and not have anything happen or going on in our life and just like in this bliss and expect that we're growing or stronger than we have. How would you even know that there's a strength there or that there is a resolve in who God is and what he can do through you and with you unless there's some kind of a pressure that you're pushing through. You're pushing it up and back and saying, get out of my way. That's what I do when I lift the weights all the time. Get out of my way. Just kidding. We see in Nehemiah 6, verse 1, it says, now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall. He's like, and the rest. I mean, I'm not going to name them all because there's so many. There's all these guys, and there's a ton more. Anybody feel like that ever? I can't even name them all. This guy's talking negative about what God's doing in my life. This guy is telling me I'm trying to be prideful. This guy is, you know, it's just all coming. It's like, just my enemies. I'm not going to name them. And I feel like that's what's happening here with Nehemiah. It says, when they had heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks left in it, though at the time I had not hung the doors and the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me harm. So I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? So we have this moment. I mean, it's not just the first time. It's again, they're trying to plot, scheme, talk bad about him, do all this stuff to try to knock him off base, to try to get him outside of what God has called him to do. And said, hey, come, Let's meet in the villages, between the villages of the plain of Ono. And I don't know about you, I think about this, I think like, I mean, it didn't mean the same, like, they didn't use that, oh no, like, term back then probably, but I see this as like, I could take this and say, you know what's funny sometimes is that things that happen or somebody speaking negatively against me or trying to pull me away from what God's doing, and it's almost like, you know, if I allow myself to get wrapped up in maybe who I am or who we are in like these things or get nervous, we don't even realize that they're saying, hey, come over here to this town of you're going to be killed and I'm going to take you away from what God's called you to do. That's basically what they're saying. And we don't see it. But what we see in Nehemiah's life is that he spent this time with God, right, with a serious heart and hands, this burden that he has for the people of God, and also that he doesn't just like go out all crazy and just like, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, but he seeks God. He's a man of prayer. He spends time with God in the beginning of the book of Nehemiah. It's like before God really put him in that moment before the king, where the king gave him everything that he needed to rebuild Jerusalem. Before that moment, he had spent months just laying this burden before God and saying, God, this is, I believe what you've called me to do, but I want it to be how you want it, when you want it, with you, not without you. Just, it doesn't matter. I'm just a guy that wants to be in your will. And we go on time after time in these moments where he's praying, whether it's just in the moment, right, when he's talking to somebody or spending time in prayer with God on his free time. The guy was just spending time with God. And so we see that in any of these moments that he comes to, that he has a good sense of who God is, who he is, and also who the people are around him and what they are trying to do. I don't know about you. I want to be like this. When somebody is there, I want God to be able to speak to me there in the moment, or me to be able to say this little moment prayer of God, give me wisdom, give me strength, help me to know. And I believe that's who Nehemiah is. And we see that in every moment that he says, right after this, but they thought to do me harm. He knew it because he had that time with God, that time where his ears were open and he could hear what God was speaking. And right there, he knew. Come join with us. Meet with us. Let's consult, let's plan. Hey, Nehemiah, you're this great leader. They're appealing to his pride or his vanity, you know? Like, when God starts using us, that's the temptation, right? Is to be like, wow, whew, look what's happening, look what I'm doing. And God's like, no, look what I'm doing with you. Look what I'm doing through you. It's not that we won't do something great, but it's the point that we see that it's him doing something great through us, with us, and allowing us to be a part of his great plan of building the temple. Like I said last week, that we each have a part of the wall, the kingdom to build, to be a place where those that need a relationship with God could come in. Each one of our places is a different part of the wall, with a different calling, a different way of reaching people. But we're all building the same wall. God wants to use us. We can't use him. We can't allow our pride or our vanity to get in the way of what he's doing, because that's what they're appealing to with Nehemiah right here. And if he would allow that to happen, you can see that all of a sudden he would be off the wall and not doing the work that God has called him to do. So they said, come to Ono, and he said, oh no, I will not come down. I'm not gonna, that, man, I want to be working with what God, I want us to work in what God has called us to do. And no matter what happens, we say, I'm not coming down. Because that's what they're doing, see? I mean, we may not be up on a literal wall, but we're up on the plan and the will of God for our lives. And they're trying to pull us down to stop that work that God is wanting to do through us. We say, oh no, nuh-uh, I'm not coming down. Why should the thing that God's doing here stop? Amen. To spend time with you fools. He didn't say that. I said that. So they try to appeal to his pride, his vanity, and of course that didn't work. He says, no, why should this stop? So they changed their tactics. This is what happens. First of all, they're like, oh, you're great. Look at the way that you're leading. Why don't you meet with us leaders, you know, us other people that, you know, are awesome. And then they come in verse 4, it says, but they sent me this message 4 times, and I answered them the same manner. 4 times, they're coming at it. Come meet with us in Ono. And he says, I can't come down. I'm not coming down. Stooping down to your level because God is doing something and he wants me to be a part of it. I want to work and be in God's will. Then Sanballat sent his servant to me, as before, the 5th time, with an open letter in his hand this time. In it was written, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem says, and this guy over here, says that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall that you may be their king. So all of a sudden, they're trying to build him up to get him off of the wall, what God's called him to do. And now they're trying to say, you're trying to build yourself up. It didn't work for us to build you up. Now we're going to accuse you and use these innuendos, these rumors, to make you think that you are building yourself up. And you're being prideful, and that's why this is happening. And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. Now these matters will be reported to the king. Look at you. There's rumors that you're being prideful, and we're going to tell the king. So come, therefore, and let us consult together. Maybe this will get him. To the town of, we're going to get you off of the will of God. Maybe this will get them to the town of, we're really not for you, we're against you. Yeah. You know, like, but he sees through it. He understands because of his relationship he has with God. And they attempt by plotting, scheming. They're saying, you know, you're plotting a coup against the king, that you're the king. And that you are going to rule this people, and that you're doing it, and saying, now we're not trying to build up your pride, but now you're prideful. Get down off the wall. Then I sent him, saying, no such thing as you are saying, as you say, are being done, but you invent them in your own heart. For they all were trying to make us afraid, saying, their hands will be weakened in the work. And will not be done, and it will not be done. I love that he's just seemingly, as you read these scriptures, just so like the resolve that he has in God. And again, like I said before, I believe it's just because he had spent that time with him, that he was a man of prayer and spending time with God, that he knew who God was and he knew who he was. Knowing who he was meant that he knew that it wasn't him and he wasn't prideful. But what he was doing was just the will of God. But he says that they did this to try to make us afraid. And at the end of that verse, it says, now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Another prayer. In every moment. And this one was just a short little moment prayer. Like in this moment that these guys are coming against him and now trying to accuse him of being prideful or accuse him of trying to set himself up as some great leader and some king. And he says, they're trying to weaken our hands. They're trying to make me afraid of what is happening, making me think that it's all me and not God. God, strengthen my hands. I love that. I want us to be in those moments, in any moment of our lives, and just walking in, and we can just be like, I see through it. God, strengthen me. Let me be who you want me to be. Yes. Not who I think, not what I want, but God, who you want me to be, and just strengthen me to walk forward in your will for my life. He says, strengthen me. I'm saying, God, strengthen us. If we just speak that in the moment of any trial, any circumstance, and say, strengthen me, God, to not come down from what you are bringing me into, from what you are calling me to, from the work that you are doing in my life or through me to help people. God, don't allow me to be swayed to the left or the right. Let me stay in your world. And in Psalm 109, you have the psalmist, he's saying the same kind of a thing, and this happens over and over. You see in the Bible that whenever God is working and doing something through somebody and with them and something good is happening, that there's accusation, that there's slander, that there's some kind of a pressure. But again, like I said, can we see that as a moment of strengthening or bringing us into the place where we know who God is and who we are? Can we allow that to strengthen our spiritual muscles, if you will, instead of getting all bent out of shape and getting all worried and just say, God, strengthen my hands to do your work? In Psalm 109, it says, O God, whom I praise, don't stand silent and aloof while the wicked slander me and tell lies about me. They surround me with hateful words and fight against me for no reason. Many times there's not a reason. You think like, why is this happening? Why is this person saying this? A lot of times there's no reason, but just because God is doing something good in your life and the enemy doesn't like it. And he's trying to knock you off the wall. He's trying to knock you off what God's called you to do or to be a part of. He says, I don't want it to happen. I'm going to do whatever I can to knock them down. So we got to say what? I'm not coming down. Whether it's doubts or like Nehemiah, accusations coming against us, we have to understand who God is and who we are. And that the work that Christ is calling us to do rarely goes unopposed. And we see, you know, I was thinking about this in Nehemiah, and so many times we take in these Bible stories and these great stories with a hero, if you will. You know, like David and Goliath. It's a great story. Great story. But so many times we try to place ourselves in that moment as the hero of the story. They're like, oh, God wants me to be the hero. I'm going to swing around. You know, I may not look small, but I'm going to defeat that giant. Which, of course, that God wants us to defeat the enemy. But to actually read the Bible and place us as the hero is not doing the right thing, because all these stories before Christ and after Christ, all these things are leading us to the point of Christ. So who's the real hero in the story? It's Christ. It's Jesus. And David. See, we're the Israelites standing there across from Goliath, shaking in our boots, scared. And who do we need? Jesus, to come, to stand in front of us, to defeat that enemy, to bring us to salvation, to bring us to where we need to be. In Nehemiah, although there are so many things we can learn in this story about Nehemiah, who he was, how he worked, really, this is a picture. of Christ. See, Nehemiah built the walls of Jerusalem, this dwelling place for the people of Israel. And Christ, he came to build the temple, to build the kingdom, to establish the kingdom so that we could have a dwelling place in his family with him. It's not a picture of me, it's a picture of Christ, of who he is. So if we go 500 or so years forward, we get to the moment where Christ, he's lived 33 years, he's spent 3 years doing ministry. God's been doing these great things in his life, or he's doing great things. And we get to this moment where he's on the cross. Now listen to this. In Matthew 27, 37, it says, "And they put over his head the accusation written against him. This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Do you see the parallel there? They're telling Nehemiah, you're saying that you're going to be king. The rumor is that you're setting yourself up as a king. We're trying to throw these accusations at you. Come down from the wall and talk to us. Get down off of the will of God, that place that God has you, and come down to this place outside of the will of God so that we can talk. And then in Matthew 27, 42, it says, they're speaking this about Jesus. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. Nehemiah, you're setting yourself up to be the king. You think you're the king, Jesus. He says he's the king of the Jews. Nehemiah, come down off the wall. Jesus, come down off the cross and then we'll believe you. Save yourself. Do something. Get outside of the will of God. See, because saving himself may have been this amazing miracle. Him coming down off the cross may have been this amazing miracle, but it would still have been outside of the will of God for his life. So Jesus says, oh no. Oh no. I'm not coming down. Why should I leave this great work that God is doing on the cross so that I should come down and talk with you? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are trying to get me outside of the will of God? Jesus didn't flinch. He didn't rush to his own defense. He allowed God to do what God was going to do. Jesus established his kingdom. Nehemiah rebuilt the wall and established that place, that residing place. We're called to build a piece of the wall. Us as a church, for people to encounter Jesus, to dwell in love. We're called to do that. We can't come down off the wall. We have to be a people that has that resolve in who God is and what he's called us to do. Saying, I'm not going to come down. Where I'm going to be is the presence of God, the place that he's called me. I am not going to step foot outside of that. I can't come down. Nehemiah rebuilt the temple walls. Jesus rebuilt the temple. He rebuilt the kingdom. He established his kingdom so that we could have a relationship. They both said, I'm not coming down. These are pictures. And when we ourselves are doing this, it's not because we're so awesome, but we can be a picture of who Christ is too. We can be that image, that representation of who Christ is. And when we walk through whatever situation it is or some accusations or slander or whatever, and we say, I'm not coming down, I'm going to stay here in the will of God. Think about that. I want to be a picture or an image of who God is. For people to see that and be like, I see Christ in that. I see Jesus. I see God working in that. We have to lay down our cross, the pick up Christ, lay down ourselves, pick up his cross, not our own will, but his will. In Luke 9:23, it says, "Then he said to them, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it.'" And I see this in this story of Nehemiah and as we're talking about Jesus. And they appealed to their desire for Nehemiah to save his life. "Aren't you getting scared yet? Come down off the wall. We'll talk about this with Jesus. Like, hey, save your own life. Then we'll believe you're king of the Jews. Then we'll believe who you said. If you save yourself." And Jesus said, I'm not here to save myself. I'm here to save humanity. I'm here to bring everyone to a place that they're supposed to be, this relationship with God. And that's where I'm going to stay. I'm not coming down. And in this message, I hope we just see that God has called each and every one of us to a place of working with him, to a place of him working through us, so that people can see and be drawn to God. Amen? Will you stand with me?
Thanks for listening today. We pray this message encourages you. If you have any questions or you'd like to learn more about us as a church, you can always visit us online by going to lifechurchstl.com.